Hello everyone, and welcome to my review of Hamlet, directed by David Salter, that I saw on Friday, July the 14th. It's been quite a year of Hamlet for me, actually. I've been busily writing on two different productions, one a film, one a play. The film was Hamlet 2000, and the play was the one starring Andrew Scott that's been running this year in London, in first of all the Omedia and then the Harold Pinter Theatre. Those two performances are very different. Obviously, one being a film, they would be. The film is very short. The play was very long. They were both in modern dress. And the Hamlet 2000 was particularly claustrophobic, set in Manhattan. At the time, it was full of cutting-edge technology. And this, of course, was completely the opposite from being claustrophobic, because you're in the open-air space. And it was an absolute delight for me, of course, as you know my likes in these matters. It was an absolute delight for me to go back to traditional dress. And David Salter always puts on a very good play. You could see how carefully the staging was set out when Hamlet's introduced. It always strikes me how late he's actually introduced into the play. Excuse me, but the scene when he was very carefully set up. We had Polonius, Ophelia and Laertes down one side of the garden. We had Gertrude and Claudius in the middle. We had Hamlet in the background in black, of course, and a couple of other sort of courtiers or aides to the king standing in the background as well. And they had all the discussion, and then they all leave so that Hamlet's left alone to launch into his two solid flesh speech. So it was all very carefully done. It's all very well set up. And most enjoyable. One thing that the actors had to contend with was, and this is really unfortunate, was nearby a school sports awards event was taking place. Nothing was meant maliciously, of course, it's just they were cheering wildly when people received prizes or won something or whatever. And we were quite lucky, because there was only once in the play it really happened at a completely inopportune moment, which was one of Ophelia's wonderful, if heartrending, sad moments in the second half, and this huge excited cheer went up. But yeah, generally speaking, it didn't affect it too badly. But the reason I'm bringing it up is just because it's part of the whole outdoor experience. But also what impressed me was the way that every single actor just ignored it completely, didn't let it put them off the stride at all, which was pretty excellent. Anyway, getting down to business, I think there's a theme developing here of me going to the plays and looking forward with certainty to great performances by people I've liked and admired in the past. And this play was absolutely full of them. Full of my favourites, I mean. Tessa Hatz, of course, is my very, very favourite. I suppose one isn't supposed to have a very favourite, but Tessa always has been, and I'm not going to change now. She was great as Gertrude, because she'd been Gertrude before. She's been Polonia in Hamlet as well, not that long ago. Her best scenes for me were the meeting with Hamlet, where Hamlet sees the ghost and she doesn't. We just have to go and see it. It's a wonderful bit. Her sadness at her son's madness, remembering that as far as she's concerned, he's hallucinating. You can argue whether he is or not amongst yourselves. But he sees the ghost in his mind and she doesn't see it. And of course, that's a terrible thing for a mother to witness. And she brings that across with great emotion. And it was very moving indeed. Also, the interactions with Ophelia, when Ophelia when Ophelia goes mad. Again, poor Tessa, she was brokenhearted for the whole of the second half of the play. That was also extremely moving, and there was a lovely touch in it. I guess David Salter's idea. I don't know. Someone could let me know. There was a lovely touch in it when Ophelia was giving out all the flowers to everybody, and she takes the rue back off Gertrude and says, "No, you're not getting that." And then she gives her a daisy, and she does it in a beautiful way where she speaks and gives the daisy over to Tessa, and it's a funny moment. And in the middle of all her heartbreak at the woe after woe that was going on, Gertrude actually gave a little giggle and then went back to being very sad again. It probably doesn't sound very effective the way I've described it, but I can assure you that it certainly was. So as I say, I go to the play thinking, well, Tessa's going to be a great Gertrude, they've got no problems there. I knew that Charles Maguire would be wonderful as Claudius and the Ghost. I've raved about Charles for the last few years, and if I talk about him in this one, I'm just going to have to rave about him again. I'm sorry. He was very impressive as the Ghost, and as Claudius, he was dignified. It was one of the ironies of the play that Claudius actually is a good ruler. He's very efficient. He would have been good for Denmark, despite all his evil in becoming the king, all the evil way that he got there. His control was obvious all the way through. I thought Charles played that perfectly. Even when Laertes is lunging at him in rage with a rapier, he's completely in control of the situation. Partly possibly due to his belief that the divinity of kings protects them, but even so, it's a very strong belief when somebody's charging at you with a sword. And my good friend Timothy Weston, being Horatio, lovely to see him being a nice character. I think he must have enjoyed it very much. It looked like he enjoyed it because his interchanges with Hamlet, I'm coming on to in a second, his interchanges with Hamlet were just very, very believable. They looked like people, you know, young men who'd been good friends for a long time. That came across very strongly. And moving on to Hamlet and Ophelia now, what I was saying about the theme that's developing is that I've got this confidence and certainty in people I've known before. There were other returning stars, and this was David Shackleton as well. I've got that confidence, and then there's the new people. Now, nothing against Hamlet and Ophelia, of course, because I didn't know anything about them, but I'd never seen Daniel Shoesmith or Elizabeth Bowdley. Apologies if that's bad pronunciation. I'd never seen Daniel or Elizabeth before. And it doesn't really matter how good Gertrude and Claudius and Horatio are, if Hamlet especially doesn't work, and to a very strong degree Ophelia as well, if Hamlet and Ophelia don't work, well, the play's just not going to work anyway. So I went there not knowing anything about it, and Hamlet bounded onto the stage. Well, he didn't bound on, of course, he was melancholy at the back, but bounded into my attention span, shall we say, by his portrayals right away. He seems to have really grabbed the part in the sense, and I think this is the really important thing, in the sense that he seems to be living his words. By that I mean he seems very believable. It's not like he's an actor. Obviously he is an actor, but you don't feel like he's an actor acting Hamlet. He just is. And I think that's the only way, really, or the only way I can think of, to deal with playing a part like that where, well, there is no other part like it, in a play where nearly every line is a famous quote, where the audience know to be or not to be is coming, where everybody's expecting all these great speeches. And of course they are great speeches, and he gave them as great speeches, but he didn't sort of overplay the fact that he was playing Hamlet. I'm actually always sorry for actors who play Hamlet. I know it's a ridiculous thing to say because it's every actor's dream, but I just think it's so hard because people know so much about it, and there's been so many famous performances, and the lines are so well known. So it was really good to get it believable. I do realise that I shouldn't be sorry for actors playing Hamlet. I should be very, very pleased for them. Even the great Patrick Stewart never played Hamlet, and he regrets it to this day. And you know, it's if you ever see him in an interview talking about it, you can feel the passion. He was praising David Tennant, for example, and saying, but I really wanted to do it, and you know, I'm too old now. Oh, but I'd love to do that part even now. And he gets quite worked up about it. So well done to all the actors who do that. But to me, it's an extraordinary challenge. But Daniel Shoesmith didn't seem to find it a challenge at all. Maybe he did, but he didn't show that he did. He carried it off, as I say, as though he was Hamlet, which was just perfect. Elizabeth as Ophelia, it started off looking quite pale, victim-like, as no doubt she should be given her situation. And her character grew as she was dealing with this impossible situation. Her interactions with Hamlet were excellent, and I thought got better and better. I'm going to mention something later about the mousetrap scene, which was a very good example of that. But I thought she actually completely went to another level when Ophelia went mad. I liked her Ophelia up till then, and as I say, there's a couple of things I'm going to mention in another part of this review that show that. But when she went mad, it was just tremendously moving, and it was almost too good. It was just heartbreaking, as I suppose it's supposed to be. She started off cheerily jumping around the stage and being grabbed by Laertes, who himself was a cheery chap at that point of the play. Of course, all of that was to change later. And Matthew Cleverley, who also played the player King, in case I forget to say that later, Matthew Cleverley was very good at the change in Laertes, the young man, you know, having to put up with his pompous father's advice as he's going to leave, the relationship with Ophelia, there. When he warns her about keeping her virginity and she sort of ticks him off for living the wild life and preaching to her like that, that sometimes doesn't work very well because just times have changed and what he's saying just sounds pretty inappropriate to a modern audience. But they managed it. They managed it very well, and they managed it in the sense of you got the feeling of the brother and sister affection. It came across very clearly, which made the ending all the sadder, of course. I should mention all the actors really. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern were both ladies this time. I think the festival is building up from having it used to be two men as Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, then it was one man, one woman, and now it's two women. That's the way it's going. So well done there for Liz McMullen and L.J. Reeves. A pretty fun Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. I have to say, altogether. David Shackleton was Polonius, as well as playing the priest. There was quite a little bit of other doubling going on that I'm probably missing. I'm only concentrating on the main parts. Polonius came across with the dignity that Polonius thinks he had, and not realizing that everybody else was laughing at him, which is much the way. He had to put up with some pretty terrible beratement from Hamlet, I have to say. I was mentioning doubling. I think the person who doubled the most, well, I'm sure the person who doubled the most, I'm not quite sure how many parts he played, was Nick Boole. To great guffaws of laughter, he played a bearded lady as one of the players. I'll come back to Nick Boole in a minute. Just to mention that Timothy Weston was also one of the players, which was quite an interesting touch. It was like Hamlet's friend doing him a turn, if you think about the actor and not the parts they're playing. But the other players were Nick Boole, and as I said before, Laertes. Nick Boole was a bearded lady, which brought out great laughter from everybody. It always works. Put a man in a dress, put him on stage, and British audiences just love it. It always seems to work. He also played the gravedigger, and this was a very disrespectful gravedigger, noisily eating an apple and spitting it about during the famous Alas Poor Yorick speech. But you can't expect anything more from a man who'd just given a skull a Glasgow kiss. Ha! I loved it. Sorry, my mobile phone went off there, and it's somebody who's going to much ado about nothing this afternoon. As everybody should. That's what everybody should do with their lives. I had really finished. You can tell I was very impressed. I've concentrated on characters. I've realised that when I'm doing these spoken reviews, I tend to concentrate more on just the actors rather than everything else. So apologies to the directors for that. I did mention the wonderful ending of Antony and Cleopatra, and I did mention a few things that David Salter did so well here. But I never went back to the mousetrap scene, which is another one of the things it seemed to me to be done very well. There were lots of lovely touches in this. It's quite difficult because you've got to keep your eyes on everybody at once. You're watching the players, you're watching the king's reaction. But what I always do, not even really particularly consciously, it just happens, I always tend to watch Hamlet and Ophelia a lot during the scene. And it was interesting this time, little touches like Hamlet mouthing the words that he'd written, that he'd got inserted into the play. He was actually mouthing them as they were being said. In between, of course, giving vicious abuse to poor Ophelia. And this was one of the bits I really liked in the Ophelia before she went mad. It's the looks on Ophelia's face when Hamlet makes these rude remarks to her. They're just wonderful. So if you go, try and keep an eye on that. He's particularly rude. He stares at her breasts at one point in a most unbecoming manner, shall we say. And the look on her face afterwards was priceless. So I like all of those little touches, all the setup. It's a wonderful setting to see it in. It's a wonderful play. I'm definitely going back again. And if anybody, for any reason, listens to this and hasn't already decided to go, for goodness sake, just go. Bye for now.